We're going to continue talking about kingdom seeds. We're going to try to get this thing moving pretty quick here. I have a lot of areas that we want to branch off into pertaining to this particular subject. It might take us some time, but first of all, we're laying out these principles, I think, that will bring great value to you and I as far as understanding about the seed of the kingdom, the word of the Lord as it's expressed. And we've been going through these last couple of Sundays, and I want to continue in this so you and I can grab hold to these principles. So these are valuable things. I think it's important that we see it, we grab hold to it, and it ministers to our lives. So we want to get started right away. I was talking about, I made a statement. I was driving, and Charlotte typed some things for me, and I put a couple of these quotes in here. But one of them in particular was, good soil cannot be self-proclaimed. The seed will test the soil. The seed will test the soil. So you can't say, well, I'm good. I guarantee it's the seed tests the soil. As Brother Josh was mentioned early, he said there was times the seed didn't fall on good seed. So we could say it's good, but time will tell if the seed was good. Because if you got good soil, what's going to happen? It's going to bring forth fruit. It's going to grow. And so good soil cannot be self-proclaimed. Does that make sense to everybody? The seed will test the soil. Is there a problem with the seed? No. See, the sower went out to sow the seed. What seed was he sowing? The word of the kingdom. There's not a problem with the word of the kingdom. But what's going to bear fruit, it depends on what kind of condition the soil's in. And so the seed is going to test the soil to see if it's right. You know how many times people have self-proclaimed good soil? Is it, maybe you're here today. I can remember in my life doing that. Say, I'm good. Well, the seed tests that. And I think that's an issue in the church today. Is people want to self-proclaim that everything's good, but the seed of the kingdom. What am I doing? Where's that? Me and Brother Josh was talking this morning. Man, you get to a point where you look back, you say, what was I doing back there? Man, this is, you feel like this is brand new. Like, you know, and that's how Christ needs to be in all of our lives. You get up every morning and you open up, it's brand new. It's exciting. And that's how our children were when they were growing up. That's how I was when I was growing up. If I got something new, it's exciting. And that's what Christ wants to be to us all the time. You know, folks might make comments where they've been there, tried that and done that and everything. Listen, this is not something you try. This is stuff brand new every day of your life. It's exciting to be counted in with the believers. Amen? I mean, thankful for that. So we're going to go through, we've been going through the book of Acts. So if you have your Bibles, we'll be in Acts, going through several more verses in the book of Acts. But I have most of these on slides for you, but you can write the notes down, go back and go over this. Again, remember, when I'm preaching, I'm not giving you an exhaustive study of this particular subject. You could go back and keep studying. Keep going back over the scripture. I might be touching some high points that I need to bring out pertaining to this subject, but go back and look at these verses. They're going to be very helpful to you. Acts chapter 19, verse 14 through 20. Again, we're talking about these things pertaining to the word of God. How was they going out spreading the seed? Did they just occasionally go out and spread the seed, the apostles? No, they did it every day. Every day. Did they wait for the right opportunity to spread the seed? No, they just went and spread the seed. And so remember that. Our job is to spread the seed. And here's the thing that I want you to remember about the seed. And I'll get more into this next Sunday. I'm going to identify it even more for you. The seed is the word of the kingdom. So I got to know what that is. I got to study that. I got to I got to go through that and have it be a part of who I am. Every fiber of my being, when I speak the word of the kingdom. I share with people the truth about what God has done and what God is going to do and the promises that he has given to all of us. These are very important. But look at this verse here in Acts. Luke writes here in the book of Acts and helps us understand what the apostles were doing and how they were spreading the gospel. The seven sons of one Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And the evil spirits answered and said to them, I recognize Jesus and I know about Paul, but who are you? Notice that. And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them and subdued all of them and overpowered them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known to all, both Jews and Greeks, who lived in Ephesus. And fear fell upon all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was being magnified. Now, in our society today, the opposite would be true to that same story. Their focus, like today's news media, they wouldn't have focused on the fact that the demon said, I know Jesus and I know Paul. They'd have focused on the dudes got beat up. What does Acts focuses on? Well, it tells us with a focus, and fear fell upon all of them. So you got to watch because these demons are running loose and they're beating up. The seven sons, man, they got beat up. See, they're going to try to, fear is trying to be propelled by the bad. But this is not fear of being afraid. This is reverential fear of the fact that when they said this, Jesus I know and Paul I know. You see? And so what happened was, fear fell upon all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was being magnified. How many see the good news in that? The name of the Lord Jesus was being magnified. And that's what happened. So even the demons was participating in magnifying the name of the Lord Jesus. Because I know him. But these are important. This is why you have to sow the seed. Sow the seed. Just spread the seed. And we spread the seed. There's various ways a person can spread the seed. It could be just the life that you daily live, every day of your life, the life that you live, that shows that the seed's been sown in you. And hopefully today I can get more on that subject. We'll see how far we can get. But the seed has been sown in you. And that seed's been sown in you, and something happens when the seed was sown in you. It changed you. And you're sharing that same message. That's the message that you're sharing. You're sharing that that change came about because somebody sowed the seed of the kingdom in me. And I'll show you later on in here, without that seed of the kingdom, there are many people who profess to be born again or Christians and they're not. You can't become one. Remember, you can't self-proclaim that it's good soil. Did the seed get on a stony place? Yeah, the seed went on a stony place. Did the seed fall among thorns? Yes, it did. Did the seed fall by the wayside? Did it go on good soil? See, the seed went everywhere it was broadcast. But according to the scripture, unless it falls on good ground, it can't bring forth fruit. Things will get, it'll get robbed from you. So these are very important things to understand about this. Verse 18. Many also of those who had believed kept coming, confessing and disclosing their practices. Many of them, it says, many of the also of those who had believed kept coming, confessing and disclosing their practices. And many of those practiced magic brought their books together and began burning them in the sight of everyone. And they counted up the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Verse 20 is the key verse. So the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing. How many see that? So the word of the Lord. So how do we know the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing? Because many of them came and disclose that, you know, they were practicing all sorts of things. And this is people said many of that believe kept coming. Many that believe kept coming. That's, how many can say that you can testify this statement to be true, that the first time you believed, you didn't have everything figured out and you wasn't completely washed and clean in your life? So what did you have to do? You had to keep coming and you got to keep confessing. So if there's something pops up, you got to confess that. You confess that I was wrong. And then what happens? So what's happening to the sea? So at one time, you might say, well, I remember it fell on by the wayside. But then I remember that same seed fell on good ground, and I passed up that thing in my life that had me in bondage. I passed it up, and it started to bear fruit in your life. This is the process that happens for everyone. So don't get it. Don't feel alienated. Don't let the devil say, well, you see, you're still having a trouble in this area. I can tell you why you would have trouble in a certain area. Because the word goes forth and it falls by the wayside. It falls by. So you, when it's going to be on good ground, make no mistake about it. Nobody's going to have to tap you on the shoulder and tell you. You're going to say, I'm past that. I don't even bother me no more. It used to. Every day it ate at me, but not anymore. You ought to give yourself a big hand, pat yourself on the back and say, thank you, Lord, for letting me receive the seed on good ground. And I'm moving forward in the Lord. And this is what was happening. So the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing. What is that? What is he talking about when he says the word of the Lord? You see, when you read in the scripture, when we say the word of the Lord, in our mind, we're thinking the 66 books of the Bible. But that's not what he's talking about here. Why is that? How do we know he's not talking about that when he says the word of the Lord was prevailing and growing mightily? Because they didn't have all those books yet. They didn't exist yet. So what word is prevailing? What word is growing mightily? The word of the kingdom. The same thing that Jesus talked about, same thing that Peter talked about, same thing that Paul talked about, and the apostles, they proclaimed the kingdom. They talked about the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He's the true Messiah. And they was up against it. Listen, most of the Jews at that time didn't even believe the Messiah came yet. Because the way Jesus came, it was, you know, if they'd have studied the Old Testament, surely the Old Testament showed that that's how he would come. For some reason, they neglected to see that, or they didn't want to see it. I tell you what the scripture says. He says that if their eyes were closed so they couldn't see. Ears stopped up so they couldn't hear. Unless they'd see and receive, they'd get a hold to it. And let me tell you, God's working in this is miraculous. It's amazing to me to see the handiwork of God in all of this. Amen? Acts chapter 11. Let's go to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter number 11, verse number 1. Now the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. What did they receive? The word of God. Amazing, isn't it? And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took issue with him, saying, you went to uncircumcised men and ate with them. But Peter began speaking. But Peter began speaking and proceeded to explain to them in orderly sequence, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. And an object coming down like a great sheet lowered by four corners from the sky, and it came right down to me. And when I had fixed my gaze on it and was observing it, I saw four-footed animals of the earth and wild beasts and crawling creatures and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, get up, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, by no means, Lord, for nothing unholy or unclean has ever entered my mouth. Now he's making a reference to the things that the Old Testament said was unholy and unclean to eat. But a voice from heaven answered a second time, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. This happened three times, and everything was drawn back up into the sky. Behold, at that moment, three men appeared at the house in which we were staying, having been sent to me from Caesarea. The Spirit told me to go with them without misgiving. These six brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house. And he reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here. And he will speak words to you by which you will be saved. Do you see that? What words is Peter going to speak? The word of the kingdom. He will speak words to you by which you will be saved. What's he got to do before they're saved? He's got to plant what? He got to plant the seed. Can a man be saved without the seed being planted? It's an easy question. I know, but y'all look at me like, here he goes. Can't be. Seed's got to be planted. That's why he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. The seed's got to be planted. So he said he will speak the words to you by which you will be saved, and you and all your household. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as he did upon us at the beginning. And I remember the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John the Baptist with water, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if God give to them the same gift as he gave to us also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? Isn't that amazing? When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, well, then, God has granted to the Gentiles also, what? The repentance that leads to life. So what does he give them? The seed. What's the only way you can get eternal life? Through what? Through the seed. You can't get eternal life unless you get it through the seed. It doesn't come any other way. You can't get it by association. You can't get it because somebody else has got it. You can't get it because you go to the right church. Do you understand that? You get it through the seed. Everybody's got to have the seed of the gospel sowed in their hearts. And that thing's got to germinate in the heart of a man. And it's got to be good ground. It means he can't be wishy-washy, up and down, can't make his mind up. Right? You know what I'm talking about. We've all been there. We've been there when the seed was good seed. I'm talking about the good seed. And it gets in you, boy. And at first, some people, they'll line up. You line them up, man. I remember lining people up. I've seen more people fall on the ground in my years of ministry. Do you understand? I've been there. I done seen all of that happening. Boom, 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 boom. 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, just getting after it. You remember that, brother? I've had them falling in the planters, and I'm telling you, crawling outside, running around the church. We've been there. But when all the smoke clears, and you call for prayer meeting, or the faithful, what happens? You remember that time when it was you who oh, it must have fell by the wayside. Something happened to it. And then we try to build something to figure out what it is can we do? What else can we do? What else can we do? You know, maybe we need to sing more upbeat songs. Maybe we could do this. And it has nothing to do with it. You can't be a person who has eternal life awarded to you without the seed. And the seed has to grow and it has to bear fruit for you to have it. You understand that? And nobody's going to just slide on, well, they barely made it. You don't barely make it. I ain't never seen a barely orange tree. It's one or it's not. Huh? Anybody, you know, it's the truth. I almost have fruit on that tree. Do you understand? I barely have fruit on that fruit tree. Does that, none of that make sense, does it? And it doesn't make sense in the kingdom of God either. You either bore fruit or you didn't. And let me tell you something. That's the power of what happens in you and I when the seed of the kingdom sowed. And that's how we got to express it to people. You got to have the seed of the kingdom of God, the God's story, his principle. Listen, God sending his only son into the world. How did he do that? How did he do that? God, the plan of God manifested itself when God said to the angel, you go tell Mary that she's going to have my son. So what did God do? The seed of God was sown in her, and something happened by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Seed of God. Every one of you here got here through a seed. How many of you know that? Every one of you here, you got here through a seed. You didn't get here on your own, you got here through a seed. Somebody sowed a seed, and here you are. Here I am. Well, guess what? In order to be born again, somebody got to sow a seed. And we don't sow our own seed in that situation. God supplies the seed. And we have that throughout the script. We're going to try to get to that today. Let's finish this. Let's start with verse 17. Therefore, if God gave to them the same gift he gave to us also after believing in the Lord Jesus, who was I that could stand against in God's way. When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, well, then God has granted to the Gentile also the repentance that leads to life. So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, that came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when he says preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, what does that mean? Did that mean that they exclusively was saying just that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again? No, no. When it says that, listen to this thing. They're preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. What are they preaching? The things that Jesus preached. That's what that means. They're preaching the stuff Jesus talked about. But you can see that statement right there. That right there, that one statement will have somebody just trail off a little bit and say, well, we're just going to preach Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. Well, you're going to miss a whole lot if you do that. And as a matter of fact, you won't touch on it. Jesus, it was a long time before Jesus even mentioned that he was going to die, but he preached the gospel the entire time. So I think we're missing a large portion of what consists of the seed of the kingdom. The seed of the kingdom. If I take the seed and I'm going to plant the seed and say I just cut the seed in half, do you think I'm doing myself any good? So I'm just going to put a half a seed in. So I just whack that seed. What if I cut it in four? I think the more I chop on the seed, I'm doing myself some harm. So we got to make sure we stick with the seed of the kingdom of God, the seed of the word. It's going to be of great benefit to us. Acts 13. We'll go through a few of them really fast. Acts 13, verse 44 through 48. The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. How many? How many? Nearly the whole city. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the whole? Let's just take this. Let's say everybody in Plaquemines came to hear the word of the Lord. What would that be like? Everybody, every resident in Plaquemines Parish would assemble to hear the word of the Lord. What would that be like? Think about it. It said the next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Isn't that just like the devil? When the Jews saw that they were doing this, and listen, everybody was getting excited about the gospel and the kingdom. Things started happening. It wasn't just this makeup stuff where it just goes along for a little while. When you preach the word of the kingdom, it's lasting. And when they saw that was happening, they were coming, but the Jews were jealous and began to speak blasphemous things against Paul when he was doing what he was doing to share. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles." And that's why they were so upset. They couldn't believe that the Jews, Jewish apostles here, were turning to the Gentiles to spread the gospel. But he didn't tell them just spread the gospel to just the Jews, did he? When Jesus left, did he say just spread the gospel to the Jews? No. But listen, who got the gospel first? The Jews got the gospel. They rejected the gospel. So he said, we're going to keep sharing it. We spread the seed. We're not going to sit here and wait for you to make your mind up if you want to serve God or not. You know, the church has been poised for many, many years to work with people just to almost beg them to keep coming to church and all that stuff. I remember I did that for so long because you just want everybody to be okay. You want everybody to make it. But that's not the position of the church. Listen, if you want to serve God, then let's go on and serve God. But if you don't, there's nothing I can do about that. I got to keep spreading the seed. I'm not going to sit there and every time I dig a hole to put a seed in, you cover it back up. I take all the stones out and then I come back and they're all back in. Listen, we got to keep spreading the seed. So what happened when they just passed up the Jews? That's what you want. That's fine. We spreading the seed. They started spreading the seed to the Gentiles and then what happened? They got jealous. They got mad at them. And they started saying all kinds of things against them. But Paul and Barnabas spoke boldly and said, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first." Did they speak the word of the kingdom to them? Yes. But he says, "You repudiate and judge yourself unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles." Verse 47, "For so the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles." Notice that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Who wants to be a part of that? That you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Where do I start? Just start right locally. The first place a man ought to start is with his own house. With his own house, start spreading the seed. And you can't make them come to church. You can't do none of those things. They'll follow you. You can't make them serve God, but you can spread the seed. You can spread the seed and bear fruit. You bear fruit because you said this is good seed. This is good seed and there's no fruit in your life. It's going to be hard for people to believe that's good seed if you're not bearing fruit. So you want to bear fruit in front of your family. Then your extended family. Then your neighborhood. Then your people you work with. You want to constantly spread the seed. And you say, "Man, I'm just waiting for, well, we're waiting for people to get right. It seems like they're getting right." No, just spread the seed. Just keep spreading it. You never quit spreading that seed. When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. How many thank God that we've been appointed to eternal life? Amen? Acts 15:35. Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch teaching and preaching with many others also. What are they preaching and teaching? The word of the Lord. How many see that? The word of the Lord. I didn't underline that one, but I should have. The word of the Lord. In verse 36, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord. See it? The word of the Lord, and see how they are. So you, what do you do from time to time after you spread the seed? What do? You go, you check it out. You check up on it. That's what I see people do it all the time. If my dad's planting something, he plants it, he checks up on it every day. He said, I don't know, man. I don't know. My mom says, well, baby, you just put the seed in yesterday. He said, I know, but I'm checking on it. Because he's a believer in it. I mean, he does it right. Everything's right. But he checks on it every day. Every day. And then all of a sudden, how many know God will give us some encouragement in the seed? You know what that encouragement is? Is all of a sudden you see the dirt kind of crack open and the little green things poking out. You know it's alive. It was dead. How many understand that? It was dead, but now it's alive. It's alive. It's amazing. It's amazing. God wants that for you and I. Acts 17, verse 11. Now, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scripture daily to see whether these things were so. So the Bereans, they were eager. They received the word, and then they examined the scripture. Do you see that? How many see that? They examined the scripture. What scripture did they examine? Not the Pauline epistles. Why? How do we know that? Because they're not wrote. He didn't write them yet. So they examined, we're talking about the Bereans. They examined the scripture to see daily to see whether these things were so. What thing? Because they're talking about the kingdom here. They got to examine the scripture. What scripture? The Old Testament. Is anybody getting this? So you mean to tell me we can go to the Old Testament? And this is one of our, I'm setting up what we're going to shift to. This is one of them. We'll come back to it. But just remember this. You can mark it in your notes. You mean we could go to the Old Testament and understand about the kingdom of God? Absolutely. What scripture do you believe the Bereans were examining? They weren't examining the New Testament. So if there was scripture that they were examining, it had to be the Old Testament. The Jewish books, the Hebrew Bible, they had that. So they went through the Hebrew Bible and they said, okay, I hear Paul saying all this stuff about the kingdom, sowing the seed, which brings eternal life. Where is that? And they examined the scripture. Daily they examined the scripture to see if those things were so. Therefore, many of them, after doing what? After doing what? Examining the scripture daily, believed, along with a number of prominent Greeks, men, women and men. Do you see that? Many of them believed after examining the scripture. Greeks, men and women. But when the Jews of Thessalonica found out that the word of God had been proclaimed by Paul in Berea, also they came there as well, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Let me tell you something. When you spread in the gospel, people's going to be against it. They're going to be against it. So this shouldn't be a shock to us. It shouldn't be a shock. If you start spreading the gospel of the kingdom, people's going to, it's going to be some stand against it. But who's willing to just keep going and spread the gospel no matter what folks say or do? No matter what kind of response people, just go out there and spread the seed of the kingdom. Because when they heard that Paul was sharing this with the, in Berea, and they were searching the scripture daily to find out whether the things he was saying was correct, and many of them believed after searching the scripture, both Greeks, women, and men, they were all coming to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin and eternal life through the seed of the kingdom now. The Jews were offended. They were mad. And they came there and started agitating the crowd. How many see that? They agitated and stirred up the crowds. Well, let me tell you, when you start proclaiming the seed of the kingdom, when you start preaching the word of God and the gospel, that's exactly what's going to happen. So get ready. You get ready for it. And a lot of times we're trying to protect our reputation. I'm not worrying about my reputation or yours. Listen, if I find out that you got yourself in a bunch of trouble because you were spreading the seed of the kingdom, we ought to be happy for that. Because that's what happened to those who loved the Lord in the early church. They loved God, and you know what? They were put in prison for it. They were burned for it. Do you understand what I'm saying? They weren't worrying about their reputation. They were doing what God said for them to do. And so we want to sometimes protect our standings with people. What people are going to think about me? You don't think I've been through all these thoughts? When the Lord began to deal with me to go into this area of teaching, you don't think I've dealt with all those thoughts? And you know, you think God's concerned about our reputation? All he says, spread the seed. You spread the seed. And that's what they were doing. They were trying to undermine Paul in Berea and saying, you know what, you can't be saying these things. And they came and agitated and stirred up the crowd. Then immediately, verse 14, the brethren sent Paul out to go as far as the sea, and Silas and Timothy remained there. Now those who escorted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they left. So, regardless if Paul, wherever he was sent, whoever was in place, it doesn't change a thing. Listen, if I'm not here on a Sunday, those who are speaking here, they ought to be preaching about the kingdom of God and spreading the seed. And we should never get tired of hearing it. We should never get tired. Listen to this. Acts 18, verse 5. But when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word. Notice that. He devoted himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook out his garment and said to them, your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. Notice that. Was he going to quit? Was he going to say, well, they won't listen, so I ain't preaching no more? Well, no, they're not everybody's going to listen. You just still do it. He said, that's fine. If you don't want to listen, I'll go to the Gentiles. I'll let them know. But one thing, I know I have a command from the Lord Jesus. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's what I tend on doing. And that's what he did. Let me tell you, he was very persistent. He no matter what he was up against, he hung in there and he said, I'm going to spread the seed of the kingdom. And that's what we have to do. We have to do it with everything that's in us. But I'm convinced that most of the time that what we're fighting with and battling with is just trying to be a Christian. And it doesn't make any sense when you think about it. If you ever pause and think about that, it doesn't make any sense. And we're going to look at that. We're going to look at what does it mean to be born again. How many want to know that? Well, maybe nobody does. What does it mean to be born again? I think it's an important subject there. Verse 7, then he left there and went to the house of a man named Titus, Justus, a worshiper of God, whose house was next to the synagogue. And Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. Many of them. So Paul, he's preaching this word. In verse 9, and the Lord said to Paul in the night by vision, do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city. And he settled there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. So listen, for 18 months, he preached on one subject. I wonder if I would bore you if I just come up here for 18 months and I only preached one subject. Some of you might say, well, Pastor needs to turn the page. You know, we done heard this story. Paul preached for 18 months. He preached the same subject, the word of the kingdom. You know, Paul, he'd have told him, he said, listen, if you don't want to hear about the word of the kingdom, then you can go over there. That's what Paul would have told him. But would you get bored? Would you get, we're looking for something new. We're looking, you say, folks wouldn't really do that. Folks do it all the time. They do it all the time. But listen, that's why there's not enough people who understand anything about the kingdom, because nobody wants to sit through how long it takes to grab hold to it. He said, did it take that long? It obviously took long, because Paul wouldn't have stayed there and wasted his time. He stayed there and he preached the word of the Lord to them day in and day out. He spoke these things so they grabbed hold to it. And I think he did an amazing job. Just look at how the gospel spread across the world even today. And it's because of men like Paul who said, I'm going to do what God said for me to do. And that's to preach the word of the kingdom. And that's what he did. Amen? Acts 19. Acts chapter 19, verse 9. But when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the people, he withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. Verse 10, this took place for 2 years, so that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. How many heard the word of the Lord in Asia in 2 years? He said all heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. So let me tell you, he was serious about spreading the gospel, serious about sowing that seed, just like he was commanded to. And I think that's what has to happen to you and I. We have to get serious about sowing the seed. And listen, we can. I think the reason we're hesitant a lot of times is because we're not certain about what it is. And we need to be more certain, assured about what the seed is. What is the seed of the kingdom? What is the message that we need to be sharing with people? I think it's important that we understand that. Look at Acts 13, verse 5. Acts 13, verse 5. When they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they also had John as their helper. I'm just showing you how many of them did this. They constantly went through. I'll go through these fairly quick. Acts 14, 25. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. So you see, they're constantly speaking the word. This quote, we should not be concerned about the soil that we sow in. We need to just sow the seed. Don't be overly concerned about the soil. Don't say, well, I was going to say something, but I'm not sure they're ready. I'm not sure about that. Listen, when an opportunity comes to sow, just sow. There's various times that that'll happen. When an opportunity comes to sow, just sow the seed. And let me tell you, one of the biggest things about sowing The seed of the kingdom, the soul is making sure that in your life that there's, you're showing forth fruit. So it'd be like a kid's storybook. You know, they make these storybooks for kids. And, you know, you have a banana tree and an apple tree. And they're sitting there and they're talking to one another. And in the one tree, how many have ever seen the trees that look like banana trees, but they don't have bananas? They never get bananas. Anybody? In Florida, they're full of them. They have them outside these resorts. They look like, I thought they were banana trees. And we come to find out they're not banana trees, but they look like banana trees. So the banana tree saying to the apple tree, I'm a banana tree. And the apple tree saying, well, you're saying you're a banana tree, but, you know, we've been living on this block for a long time, and I ain't never seen no bananas on your banana tree. He said, but that don't matter. I'm a banana tree. And the apple tree says, yeah, but I'm an apple tree, but look at what's going on here. I got apples all over this tree. So I don't really have to shout I'm an apple tree. Folks passing by saying that's an apple tree. But they've been passing by looking at this banana tree for a long time. You look nothing more than a decoration. It's not, you're not feeding anybody. You get my point? So to spread the seed doesn't mean you might say something. You might actually be who you say you are in front of them every day. Maybe not. Because, see, maybe you say, well, I don't say something because I don't know how to speak. Well, if I could just say it like Pastor would say it. No. Let's back up. Let's go back to first grade, okay? Forget trying to say it like I say it. Why don't we just live it? Why don't, if we're gonna call ourselves a banana tree, we ought to at least have some bananas on the tree. So when you meet people, they ought to be able to identify with who you are without you saying a word. You don't have to wear a sign. I'm a Christian. You know how many I'm a Christian vans that do construction that people run from? Brother Brian knows what I'm talking about. They go, uh-oh, don't get them. Because they say, Christian owned and operated. And the people say, Christian owned, I don't want them. Bring me, I want a center. I want a center doing my plumbing. I don't want no Christian owned and operated. Them folks don't pay their bills. You know what I'm saying? See, you're saying that's who you are, but you're not living that away. So every opportunity, so what was Paul doing? Listen, if he said that's what he was doing it. They beat him with rods. He still hung in there. They put him in the inner dungeon and put him in stocks and bonds. He's still saying praises to God. He was shipwrecked and he still got up and said, God, to God be the glory. This night the angel of the Lord stood by me. Every time you looked at Paul, he had fruit coming out. So people, they get so mad at him. They were so frustrated. They traveled from a different city to come and just cause agitation. How many would like it if it would be so get so powerful in Plaquemines where another parish in the north come down to see what's going on? That's what happened when Paul was spreading the gospel. That's what happened. It'd be like the New Orleans parish says, man, well, I don't know what's going on down there, but we're going to go see. And the city come and see what's going on in the other city. That's changing your city. But the only way we're going to do that is we've got to spread the seed. And the one spreading the seed has to make sure that they're not expecting something out of the one they spread the seed on, and that they're not bearing in their own life. And we got to watch. We've got to watch how we react, how we think. And let me tell you, you constantly got to have a watchman there. Constantly you got to have one there. Because it's so easy to just say something wrong or slip. So easy. We should not be too concerned about the soil that we sow in. Just we need just to sow the seed. 1 Peter. Go to 1 Peter. All right, we got to go fast. So go to 1 Peter fast. Look up here. 1 Peter 1:23. For you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable. I didn't see that. But imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. Do you see that? Now, this is an important verse of scripture here. Very important. For you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable. Not perishable seed. But what? Imperishable seed. Imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. There's so many wonderful points in this verse. Number one, this seed is not a perishable seed. Meaning there are perishable seeds. There are things that people come to Christ. There are statements, there's prayers, there's places they go, people they hang out with, and they're told that they come to Christ. But I want to tell you, that seed is perishable. But he says, you have been born again with an imperishable seed. That ought to mean something to you. It ought to mean something to you. Secondly, this imperishable seed is through the living and enduring word of God. How do I get that seed in me? There's a way to get the seed into somebody. Through what? Through the living and enduring word of God. Through the living and enduring word of God. That's how the seed gets in you. And it's very important that we understand this. And we're going to touch on this verse back and forth. The word of God is here to stay. It's imperishable. I want you to know that the word of God is here to stay. What does the scripture say? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, this seed, is imperishable. I don't know if we're getting it. I got one or two maybe getting this. Do you understand? The seed is imperishable. With Jesus Christ, the seed, the Son, the reason he was imperishable is because he refused to go against anything that the Father hadn't said. If he said it, I'm going to go with it. So when that seed was sown, was it a perishable seed? No. Did the seed die? It died, but was it imperishable? The seed died. He said, except this seed die. It can't come back. So what are you saying? Anybody ever plant a seed? Anybody? What do? You hang it in the air on a string? So it can just kind of, no. You dig a hole in the ground. You poke it hole and you bury it. Signifying it is dead and buried. Is it a perishable seed if it's the seed of the word? No. That thing is not. It's imperishable. Same thing happens when the word of God gets sown in your heart. It's imperishable. So we spread the seed. So what can destroy that seed? The Bible says the fowl of the air comes and snatches away it before it even gets to do its job, right? Then it can be among thorns. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and all can choke it up. Right? Then it can fall on stony places. And because it's so hard, it can't get much root. And it withers away. It starts, but it just withers. But then it falls on good ground. Hallelujah. It gets down in there, it's there. Is it? And it don't seem like much is happening. But he asked the question, is it perishable seed? No. He said it's imperishable. And that's what you got to grab hold to. It's imperishable seed. You're sowing imperishable seed. Do you understand that? That's what you're sowing. And that's what, listen, did everybody that Paul sowed the seed on, did all of them get it? No. Did he quit sowing? Why did he keep sowing? He said, I'm sowing imperishable seed. I can't help it. This is the good stuff. I'm going to sow this. I want people to grab hold to it. The word of the kingdom is the seed that is imperishable that will regenerate you. It will regenerate you. Now, the reason I use the word regenerate, quickly, I'll do a review next Sunday on some of this. Born again. Born again. What does it mean? What does it mean to be born again? To regenerate. To father anew. To bring into existence again. How many see that? To be born again means to regenerate. To father anew. To bring into existence again. Next Sunday, I'm going to touch on John, the third chapter, in the case of Nicodemus' conversation with Jesus. And I'm going to look at this word, born again. We're going to look at it closely. We want to see what he's talking about here. Remember, born again is to regenerate. Not generate, regenerate. How many know we was already born once? Every Christian that's true Christian means they've been born twice. Been born twice. First time when you were born, there was a seed. And you were generated from a seed. The second time you're born, you get regenerated. Is that helping anybody today? I want you to see what God's done for us. He regenerated me. Isn't that amazing? I'm so thankful today that God has regenerated me. So if you haven't experienced being regenerated, then you can't say that you're born again. And when you are regenerated, you're not living in the old mindset of the first one who was generated. Because you've been regenerated. And you got to accept that regeneration complete and full. If not, you're going to battle that thing constantly. Constantly going back and forth to the old and back to the new. Back to the old, back to the new. Constantly go back and forth. And the enemy will beat you down. Where you slap out, we're going back. But if you understand the concept that's put forth through the seed of the kingdom, that it's regenerated a brand new you. You can live that new life. How many want that? So next Sunday you come. We're going to learn how to be born again. This is a wonderful time for the church. A wonderful time. And listen, and I'm not saying you're not born again. I'm saying that you might be, but don't even know how you got there. And that's where the enemy beats everybody up at. You know, the mercy of God has been extended to all of us. And thank God for his mercy. But we need seed sowers. We need people who can go out and hang in there. No matter what they're going through. So next Sunday we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about, look at the being born again part and really, really grab hold to those principles. That way when you get up every day, you have no question at all that you have been regenerated. You've been regenerated. And you're living your life for the Lord. How many want that in your life every day? Let's stand. Father, we thank you today. I thank you, God, for every person that's in this place. I thank you, God, for the opportunity you give us to come and worship you and honor you. I love you for it. Lord, I thank you that you're a God that